Hey, everybody, this is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
What happened in the next 2 weeks was just a look into insanity and the windows of, I believe, how evil gets in. And I'm standing in all of that. And I don't know what I'm seeing, and I don't know why I'm seeing it, and I can't breathe, and I can't, I'm just standing. He says that I said 3 times real loud, almost like I was scolding a dog.
No.
No. No. I realized it was him. And he looked so, it was just demonic.
Every secret, every little thing, every untold story that I had never heard just came out. And it all culminated in, I don't even know how to explain it at this point, just probably the most up close and personal confrontation with pure demonic people I've ever had in my life.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw 3 long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are 2 small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you haven't checked out our films, go ahead, check them out at merkelfilms.com. The Shape of Shadows is the newest one. Our first one is Expedition Dogman, and we are coming out with our 3rd documentary, which is going to be called Sasquatch and the Missing Man, featuring myself, my team, and Wes Grimmer from Sasquatch Chronicles. So look forward to that. It's coming very soon. No dates available, but be on the lookout because we are coming in hot with that good. All right, today we have Taylor and his mom, Tammy, coming on the show to talk about their experiences trying to escape from a religious cult called the 2x2s, or also known as the Truth Cult. The Truth Cult. They are coming forward to tell their story of how they got out of it and also the effects of the cult on her family. In fact, her brother actually wound up committing a very vicious crime, and she believes it had a lot to do with the cult and how the cult allowed demonic influences to fester within her family. So let's get to Taylor and Tammy right now. All right, today we have Taylor and Tammy. How are yous?
We are okay.
Doing great.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. You are a son-mother duo today, and yes, you have quite the story to share. So This is a story that is that comes in the email to us, and it's one of those stories that it's not your typical story you get in the email, but it's the kind of story that you always wonder if would ever come, you know? And so,
right.
Because, you know, you sit and you hear some wild stories out there and you're like, man, I wonder if anybody ever listening to my show would email with a story like that. And
right.
Here
right.
we are. Yep. So yep. This is a very dramatic story. And I don't want to spend too much time priming the audience outside of it very much involves you guys and family death, cults and running and hiding and a life that I don't think either one of you would have wanted to script for yourselves, but yet you mm-hmm. found yourself in that situation. Right. So with that, I want to hand it over to Taylor. I know you're going to kind of introduce us to the story and prime it up and let you kind of hand it off to your mom and let you guys bounce back and forth, sharing your story about how this all unfolded for you guys.
Perfect, man. That sounds awesome. I'd like to say I'm thankful for the opportunity and grateful, man, because this story's been, you know, we've had a couple of places to go with it. I want to say that first and foremost, there's been, we had an opportunity, I think, was it somebody contacted you? Then we had somebody from New York Times contact us, but it's, the focus of it is so not about what actually happened. Like, they wanted to focus on the actual grisly murder part and less of the actual, what I would consider supernatural and probably religious experiences that came. And ever since then, it's just been like to find a place to like actually tell the story is really meaningful. So I'd like to start by saying we're grateful for the chance. This story starts kind of in a weird, you know, area. I had just moved out to Florida in the year of 2022. Yeah. It was sometime after the pandemic and the lockdowns, and I was going out to Florida to start training to be a pro wrestler. And my mother was married to a very popular politician out in the state of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And while I was out there training, I get a call one day. She's getting divorced. And, you know, it was kind of an ugly thing. And, you know, politics, the state of politics as it is, some things took place on that. That'll be for her to tell. That's a whole other story. But I get this call, and my mom's getting ready to not only be divorced, but she's going to be homeless. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to pack up all my stuff and move back home. And I moved back home to Albuquerque to start with my mother. And I guess the plan really was just to finish up all the things she needed to get finished up and then go back out to Florida and restart our lives and just kind of go from there. But while we were there, our lives just got completely flipped, turned upside down. And from my perspective, it's interesting because I was never raised in the cult, but I got to see them outside. She had escaped the cult by the time I was born, but maintained a relationship with what I would call like the first family, like, you know, like mom, dad, uncle, things like that. Like, so like her actual family, you know, she had always had this kind of relationship with. So I had this weird, from the outside looking in view of like this really strange religious cult. And for whatever reasons, like every secret, every little thing, every untold story that I had never heard just came out. And it all culminated in, I don't even know how to explain it at this point, just probably the most up close and personal confrontation with pure demonic evil I've ever had in my life. I'm a heavy metal musician. I make hip hop. I make all kinds of different stuff, but I say that to illustrate it's not my first time being around the world. I've promoted several shows. I've worked with such artists as 3-6 Mafia, Paul Wall, Mad Child. Then I've had some success with some metal groups, like doing festivals with Nasty Savage, Exciter, just really old stuff. And, you know, I was always kind of like, I believed in God, but because of what she went through, I could never properly define it. I just knew somebody was there that was bigger than myself. And she had always grown up teaching me, you know, God put the dream in your heart. So always follow you know, the calling that's within you. And like, you know, the interesting thing is I've always been sought by Christ my whole life. And that's a whole other thing, you know, like of moments where I could literally tell you something unexplainable happened and it happened to be what I believe to be Christ. And all of these things kind of went relatively unnoticed in my life. Like you put them over here and you don't think about it. You just kind of go, well, maybe there is something to everything. And maybe there is something. You just go with it. And the thing about me is I never really wanted to go to a church because I just saw what they did to her. And she comes from a group called The Truth. They're a Christian church. They've been around, I believe, since the 18th century, founded by some guy. And they're like one of the longest running Christian cults in the entire world. And I mean, they've got like in Australia 60 minutes episodes worth of some of the things these people have done. I mean, it's bad. And we didn't really like, I didn't grow up with the hatred of God. I just had this lack of understanding of what it really meant to serve him, what it really meant to like acknowledge the existence of a higher power because of what she went through. And I believe that this whole experience, to kind of drown it out, I'm trying to cohesive, get my words cohesive. But I believe this whole experience literally night and day turned me into a believer of Christ. Night and day made me believe in the dark and the light. And it's not that I had like a banality of evil thing going on. I mean, I think we all kind of do, but it was more so that like, yes, there's a God. I can't define him. Yes, there's wrong and right, but there are so many gray areas. Like all that, for the most part, in a radical way, changed. It just changed. And I guess from this point, I'd let you take over because it was just kind of a good setup for like what this, like
the events.
Yeah.
We just kind of lifted us into like just hyperbolic crazy. So he's talked a little bit about the cult. The cult is called The Truth or The 2x2s. And it took me many years to even be able to say the word truth. Cult. That's how ingrained it is in with you from a child. You're indoctrinated in early. And even though I left, I wouldn't speak out against it. And there's been years where I've been shunned and completely disconnected from my family. And then when I come back in, usually it's around an event or something that's happened with the outside world that I go in and negotiate for them. With my mom and I had a very loving relationship when I moved back to Albuquerque and married the politician. By the way, side note on that, he was a cop for 27 years and then retired and became a high-ranking political guy. And some of the stuff that we were going through didn't work for politics. So because it was damaging to their particular group, I was effectively dealt with because politics is always first. The next campaign, you're always about that. So I'm going through all of that, but
she's looking at
back to the marriage and back to Paul and that. So we had our own treatment center there in New Mexico, number one treatment center for a number of years, and he began running for office. And again, some of the things that went on as far as the political side of it and the business side of it, our marriage ended. And at that time, I was still in New Mexico, and I was still trying to put all the pieces together from that, from our business shutting down, all these different things. And in 2019, maybe 2000, whatever the year of COVID was, my son is in Florida training to be a wrestler. I'm in Albuquerque trying to navigate the end of my marriage. And let me just say this about my marriage. For 25 years, I was a true believer. I thought everything that this party and these people told me was, I was in all the way. Any mistakes that were made in our marriage had to be my fault. I took it on lock, stock, and barrel. Had to be me because they told me it was. And because I grew up in a cult, even though I wasn't in it, I still am almost pre-programmed to be told how to think and how to live. And it takes me a minute to snap out of it and go, wait a minute, that's not right. So that was happening with my marriage. But there's deviousness there too. And I'll swing back around to that. So that's the framework for leading up to the year of COVID. My brother was diagnosed. My brother, Carlin, he's still in the cult. So let me digress a little bit and talk about the religion. My brother stayed in the religion. My whole family did. I have a younger brother that was not. Him and I both left. And my younger brother got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was beautiful, and it saved his life, and he's been sober ever since. And he's got, I think, 30 years. And but interesting thing, he found in that group of people who I have a total shout out for Alcoholics and love for them and the structure of their program. And I believe done correctly, it gives you just a beautiful life. But I could see where, like, for people like my brother that still need the cult to tell them what to do, how to live, where to go, what's okay, what's not. You know, he fit right into that. And for me, again, it was always, there was just things, even within that framework, because I work in the field of addiction, I myself don't drink, don't do drugs. And I've just seen so much in the structures of social groups. And I feel like in a lot of ways, they opened the door to be end up doing terrible things in the name of God, in the name of whatever. And so my brother, you know, my younger brother, Darren, was in the religion, was not in the religion, I'm sorry, was in AA, and everybody else in my family in the religion. My mom died about 10 years ago, and I had made peace with my mom. I had gone back in. I would handle things for my mom when she had to deal with the outside world. A lot of times there was doctors. If you want a visual, we look kind of like the LDS, Latter-day Chain. That's kind of the visual. We're not them, no Mormon, none of that, but that's a visual on what we look like. So sometimes when you're dealing with doctors, lawyers, things in the outside world, it's very intimidating. And I would be called in as a business person and married to a political guy and whatever. And I would come in and handle some of those things for my mom or family members or whatever. So that's kind of a view of where I was within the family. And I never completely disconnected from them, but I was never accepted again.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.